I do want to remind you that our offering is a bucket in the back. You can put whatever you've brought to give to the work of this church, what we collect together to do this work. And there are also ways you can give online. A lot of folks do give online through this church. So our scripture this morning is, well, you've already heard it basically from Stacy, but it's Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. So here are these words. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to tell you a story this morning about a guy named Naaman. And it's a cool story. It happened a long time ago in a kingdom called Aram. And Aram was kind of northeast of Israel. It's where Syria is now. And Naaman was the head commander of the military for the kingdom of Aram. And he was very decorated, very famous. He had one problem. He had a skin disease. We don't know what that skin disease was, but it makes my skin itch just thinking about it, whatever it was. And one day, his wife's servant, a young woman that was working for his wife, said to him, "You know, it's too bad you don't live in Israel. There's a prophet there. Can take care of that right away." And so Naaman went to the king of Aram and said, "Hey, do you think you could write a letter to the king of Israel and just give me an introduction so I could get healed?" And so the king did. He wrote a letter to the king of Israel. Now, this is interesting because Aram and Israel kind of had a rocky relationship. Sometimes they were allies. Sometimes they would fight with each other. It was kind of an uneasy thing. So when the king of Israel got the letter from Aram, he freaked out. He was like, "What am I supposed to do with this? Like, I could figure out a way to get this guy healed." He thought maybe the king of Aram was trying to spark an international incident. But then Elisha spoke up. Elisha was a prophet in Israel. Now, I don't know if you know who Elisha is. Do you know who Elijah is? Elijah was a prominent prophet. He's the guy that was taken up in the chariot to heaven. You know, the swing low guy. That's Elijah. And Elisha was his protege. So now Elisha was in Israel doing miracles and stuff. And when he heard about Naaman's request, he said to the king, "I'll take care of it. Just have him come on." And so Naaman took off with a whole entourage. He had all this money, all these fine garments to pay for this. And he went all the way to Israel. He went to Elisha's house. He stopped in front of the house. Nobody's there to greet him. Finally, a servant comes out, and the servant says, "He says to tell you to go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and you'll be fine." And the servant goes back in. And Naaman is furious. He's like, "I'm a big guy. I came all this way. I expected more of a welcome, and I expected more of a big deal with this healing. You know, if I want to wash in a river, I've got rivers back home I can wash in." And then one of his servants said, "You know, you were willing to do the hard thing if he was telling you to do something hard. Well, this sounds easy. Why don't you just go ahead and do it?" And so Naaman he decided to go ahead and do it. He was reluctant, but he went to the Jordan. He washed 7 times, and you know what happened? He was healed immediately. He had the skin of a young man, and he was overjoyed. And he went back to Elisha's house. This time Elisha was there, and Naaman was like, here, have all this gold, all these clothes to pay for this healing that was amazing. And Elisha said, no, it's all in a day's work, no biggie. Naaman thought about this, and he said, all right, can you do me one thing? I've got this empty cart here. Can I fill it up with soil from Israel and take it back with me to Aram? And then I will plant it in my yard. And every time I go out there to pray, when I bow down, I will be bowing down to the God of Israel, the one true God. And that's what happened. That's what he did. Isn't that a cool story? I love that story. And it's from 2 Kings, if you want to look it up and read it. I mean, I really told it pretty well. So it makes me think that that's kind of a cool idea, having soil so that it's like your home away from home. I was thinking I could do that for Mother's Day. Just get a shoebox with some dirt in it and send it to my mom. It's like, remember what it's like to be a Kansan? Here you go. Actually, I could market this. Soil from one town to another, all over the country, moving soil. I'd call it holy ground. All right? Any investors want to get in on this? You'd get in on the ground floor. All right. I am here all week. Actually, there's probably some regulations and things that would get in the way. I don't know if it would work, but I'm going to think about it. But today I want to talk about an opportunity that we have to change our ground with our faith. And to start talking about that, I want to introduce you. I bet most of you don't know this guy. His name is Paul Tillich. Anybody know, ever heard of Paul Tillich? Well, here we go. He was a theologian in the 21st century. And his big thing was, we got too many big concepts about God and faith and theology. He wanted to kind of reinterpret things in a more universal way to speak about these things so that more people could understand. And he came up with this phrase, ground of being. And that was his way of talking about God as the ground of our being. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I'm thinking about God, I'm thinking out there somewhere. But Paul Tillich's idea was, no, God is the ground of our being, our foundation. This is where we connect with God. God is supporting us, and we have to put down roots into God. God is everywhere beneath us, supporting us. Isn't that a cool idea? I like that. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about when he talks about good soil. Soil that you can build a life on, a healthy life, a fruitful life. Jesus talks about good soil. He's talking about the Word of God. And that's not just what you read in the Bible. It's how God speaks to you. Through Christ, through your daily lives. That is what the good soil is. So, yeah, putting down those deep roots means a different kind of relationship with God. And then bearing fruit from it. That's what we're going to be talking about this month. Bloom where you're planted. That's what we're going to be talking about. But wait a second. What if you aren't planted in the ground of being? What if you don't have those strong roots? That describes a lot of people in this world and probably some people in this room. Many of us have struggled to have God as our foundation and have that connection. And so that's what Jesus is talking about with this parable. He wants everybody to understand. And so he uses these examples. I wrote most of this sermon while putting Turf Builder on my lawn, thinking about the ground. Because as I looked out at my lawn, I've got examples of every one of these in my front lawn. So the first example he talks about is the seed that comes on the path. I don't necessarily have a path in my yard, but I have some really big bare spaces. And that seed just lands and doesn't do anything, and the birds scoop it up. Have you ever felt like that? Where it's not a question of how deep your relationship is with God, it's whether you have one at all. It's like kind of the talk to the hand kind of thing, or you don't have time for it, or you're not even interested in it. There are some people like that, and maybe you've been like that at times. No relationship at all. So next, as I was putting the Turf Builder on, next to my driveway, there's a couple rocky areas. And then I thought about the seed falling on the rocks. And the seeds there shoot up excitedly, but they don't have any root. They don't put down the roots, so they die. This happens all the time in the church. I see folks come into the church as visitors. They come and are like, that was great. I'm coming back. They come back the next week. This is great. This is great. And then suddenly they stop. Three and out. You know why? Because they're only experiencing faith at this level, but they're not experiencing at this level. And to experience at this level requires more than an hour of church. It really does. It requires some sort of spiritual practice in your life. It requires being part of a small group, some way to deepen your faith. So folks just skim in and skim out. And that's part of that is our fault because we don't do a good enough time forming relationships with new people and offering these ways. So those are the rocks. Maybe you felt that way before. Maybe you feel that way right now. Then Jesus talks about the thorns. Now, I don't have thorns in my yard, but I have weeds, lots of weeds. I've got areas where it looks like we deliberately planted weeds. And some of those weeds are dandelions, which, by the way, are not weeds. They're flowers. I would love to have a whole yard of dandelions. My neighbors would not be a big fan of that. So these weeds keep the healthy grass from growing. And that's pretty obvious what that is as a metaphor for us. That's when we get too many distractions, too many other things that take our energy and take our power. We focus on the wrong things. We run out of time. We get distracted by the ways of the world. He talks about money getting in the way. And then it literally chokes us with temptation. We never bear fruit. Have you ever gone through a time like that? When you were experiencing so much in your life that you couldn't experience God. I've been there. But then comes the good soil. I'm happy to say that at least 51% of my yard is good soil. And that's a deep connection. And that's opportunity to put down your roots and be open to the word in your life. And you know what? It yields so much fruit. We're going to be talking about that fruit for the next 3 weeks. And that's important. We'll get to that. But first, I have to ask you again, what do you do if you're on the wrong kind of ground? Barren, rocky, weedy. How do you get to the good soil? Well, I looked at my lawn, and I thought about Naaman, and I looked at my neighbor's lawn, and so last night, late, I went out in the middle of the night with a shovel, and I just took the top layer of grass off of their lawn and just transported it onto my lawn, and it looks great. That's what Naaman did, but I wouldn't recommend that. No. I have to change my own ground. I have to make a conscious decision to change my ground. I believe you can do that. You can change the ground that you're on from unhealthy to healthy, to a real connection with the real ground, the ground of our being. And ultimately, that's what Naaman was doing. It involves work. It involves tending your patch, watering it with prayer, feeding it with scripture, guarding against threats and distractions, giving it space, staying connected to it. It doesn't matter if you were raised in good soil or if you've moved there over the course of your life. The invitation and the results are the same. When you choose to put down roots in faith, you will bear fruit. And what that fruit looks like and how you use it, different for every person. And we're going to talk about that. The best news of all is that it doesn't matter where you are or where you go. The opportunity is always going to be with you. You can thank Naaman for reminding us of this, but ultimately thank God, because the ground of being can travel with you everywhere you go. Amen.